Welcome to Scaling Wellness, the podcast that will give you all the tools you need to grow your wellness business and thrive in the online space. I'm your host, Caroline Kopp, Pilates teacher and health coach, turned business mentor for wellness experts, teachers and coaches just like you. This is the podcast where we uncover the strategies, stories and tools to help you to scale your wellness business, build impactful digital products and create the time, money and freedom that you crave. If you're ready to grow your online presence, make a bigger impact with your clients and in the wellness industry, and uncap your revenue, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. Hello there. Welcome to the Scaling Wellness Podcast. My name is Caroline Kopp. It's great to have you here if you are new here, and welcome back to all my avid listeners. And I know that a lot of you will be clients. A lot of people that work with me still tune in every week to the podcast. But also, I get loads of messages every week. Actually, it's really lovely from new listeners, but also people that have this as a real kind of diary entry into their week. Like it's a Monday non-negotiable. So I am bringing you the good stuff this week. And what I'm bringing you is a little bit of behind the scenes. Now, the reason I'm doing this is because I feel like this is going to be useful for everybody. We had a big coaching session inside the Scaling Wellness Accelerator this week. And there were four big themes that came up that I just thought warranted an overview of each of them. And I think if you're a client that's listening to this, it's going to be really good to hear it again, because so much of the kind of online content is different. And we're always looking for like new directions and, you know, the brand new strategy that's going to propel me forwards and the new idea and the shiny object and the thing that I haven't thought of. And actually, what I know to be true in my business and in my clients' businesses is that the people that do the best in the online world, in the online service business, is the people that are doing the same things on repeat, and they are absolutely milking them. They are just really polishing and refining. Rather than always looking for something new or something exciting, they are following the same strategies over and over and over, and it works. And I know that if you're like me, and I do tend to attract a particular audience type, if you are like me, you will get bored and you will have a bit of shiny object syndrome and you will be looking around for the next strategy or the next exciting direction. But what I want you to try and remember, if you're a client or if you're new to my world, is that the more prolific you can get at one strategy and doing things really, really well, the bigger your business will grow and the faster it will grow. And so if you are a client and you're listening to this, you're going to be hearing me talking about the same things that we talk about in the coaching calls. But if you're not in my world at the moment, or if you're not a paying client at the moment, then what you're going to hear is the stuff that we talk about behind the scenes. Now, the great thing about the accelerator is that you have the opportunity to ask your questions and have this personalized to you. And of course, in a podcast episode, I can't do that. But I'm going to try and make this as relevant to you guys as I possibly can, so that you really get a good next set of steps to go away with after this episode. Okay, so what are we talking about? Where are we going with this? There are four themes that we're going to cover today. And the first one is the trap that I see many wellness experts falling into is solving too many problems. Now, the reason this is a problem for us as wellness experts or fitness experts or movement experts or coaches is because we are really, really good. Really good at solving a multitude of problems. And we've kind of based our business on being that person. You know, come to me, come one, come all. The amount of times I see no experience needed, open for all levels, perfect for all abilities. So we are really good at helping anybody with anything. What we're not very good at is understanding what our clients want. And I remember having this exact problem when I worked with group classes, which I've basically done for my pretty much my whole Pilates career, which is over 21 years now. When I worked with group classes, you know, you'd get people to fill out a form when they come in. You'd have a quick convo with them when they start. So you'd get a kind of overview of why they're there and, you know, maybe their ailments. They might actually tell you if they've got something wrong with them. Quite often they don't, but if they do, then that's great. So you've got a kind of snapshot of their life. But what we don't ever go particularly deep on, and this can also be the case with one-to-one, is why they want that. You know, we know you're here for a bad back, but why do you care about that bad back? Why is it a big problem for you? What impact is it having on your life? What have you already tried? Why aren't you able to solve it alone? And what will happen if you don't fix this problem? And so we really need to go deep with our clients to understand, you know, what this manifests as. It starts as a bad back, but what does it become? Why is it something that you now want to fix? And when we do that, we start to get a really clear idea of A, the problems that we quite like to solve, and B, the type of people that we quite like to work with. So the big mistake I see people making when they go then to create a digital product is that they try to solve everything in one product. So they decide that they want to help people with back pain. We're going to stick with that analogy. People with back pain. And so what we try and do in that program is we try and loosen their hips, strengthen their glutes, build up strength in their lumbar spine, increase their core strength, improve their thoracic mobility, stretch out their hamstrings. Like, we try and do everything. And what we're then doing is really kind of muddying our delivery. It makes it really, really hard to deliver an outcome. And the reason why is because back pain is too broad. It actually is too many problems, you know, because back pain can manifest in so many different ways. Is it sciatica? Is it core diastasis? Is it, what is it? Like, what is the back pain? And the problem is, if we try and solve back pain as a generic outcome, we end up having to create something that helps every type of back pain. And the problem with that is it means that your people that take the program won't get the result they want, or they will feel completely overwhelmed by the content. Whereas if someone comes to you and they are in their third trimester of pregnancy, they're experiencing debilitating sciatic pain, it's stopping them from walking, they're worried about, you know, how they're going to cope once the baby's born, yada, yada, yada. They've got all these kind of concerns and ailments. We could so easily create a program that has far more value to that person than a back pain program. She's not going to go to a back pain program. She probably wouldn't even go to a sciatica program because she might not even know what it is. At this point, what she's looking for is for her problem, her specific problem, to be solved in the fastest way possible. And so when you create something that is too generic and solves too many problems, it becomes very difficult in not only selling it, because how do you find those people? You need people to trust you, and they don't trust you if you don't speak to their problems. And then pricing it is really challenging because back pain for one person can be debilitating, and for the next person it can be a bit of a niggle. So pricing it is really really tricky in that instance. And then delivering, and this is probably the hardest part, is that when you get someone coming in and they say, oh, you know, my back pain means that I can't lie down, and 80% of your program is doing things in the, you know, on the mat, then suddenly you've got a huge problem. And actually, if you'd known that you were delivering it for the person that couldn't lie down, you would have made a completely different program. So the first trap, and the first thing that I hope that kind of brings together for you, is the idea that you have to solve a problem. One problem, one person. And I want you to try and do that for about a year, for 1 year. One problem, one person, 1 year. Without the shiny objects. And I just want you to refine it. And you, the more you deliver it, the more you do it, the more specific it will become. So don't feel like you have to go uber granular on your first iteration. It will change as you grow it. But just bear in mind that too many problems, solving too many problems is going to create too many problems for you. And it's going to make your outcomes really kind of low level, because people aren't going to get the outcome because they're going to be catered, you know, sort of so mildly catered for, because you're trying to cater for everybody. Okay, I hope that makes sense. So moving on, we're going on to the next thing which came up this week, which is building things that nobody asked you for. Now, this came up with one of my clients this week. Sometimes we get in our heads about what we think people want. And most of the time we don't really know. We kind of base our ideas on what we think they want or what we know they need. But the problem with that is that if we know someone needs something, but they're not asking for it or they don't want it, we're never going to sell it. We're going to really struggle to sell. Okay, so what we know is that probably most people should be, I don't know, let's say stretching. This is an example, stretching daily. But if people don't want to stretch daily, if they don't feel the need or have the requirement, then they're not going to do it and they're never going to pay for it. And the reason is that we know from a movement perspective that that would be really valuable for most people, but they don't want it. And so there's an immediate disconnect. And so often I find that we create in our own heads, we create in a silo. And what we need to be doing when we're creating digital programs is creating in collaboration, really getting out there and speaking to our people. And quite often, I will say this to my clients, even when they've got programs that are, you know, even a year old, that have been running for quite a long time, they'll say something like, you know, I really feel like it would be valuable to bring in another expert, or I really feel like it would be really helpful if I could teach them about protein, or something like this. And actually, what we need to do in those moments is ask people if they want that. You know, would it be helpful if I added this in? Is this something you're interested in? Because we know from a, we know from a business perspective and from an expertise that there are things that they need to know, that they need to incorporate. But if they don't want them, they won't do them. So we need to be able to show people when we're adding things to programs and when we're creating programs, we need to show people why they need this stuff, why this is going to be helpful for them. So next time you're running your program and you're thinking, you know, I'd really love to add in an extra live class every week, I want you to think to yourself, but do my clients need that? Do my clients want that? Or actually, is that going to overwhelm them? Is that potentially going to be too much for the scope of this program? Because remember that when you are creating a digital product, you don't have to solve the whole problem. There is, of course, an element of give people what they want and deliver what they need. Of course, that is a part of it. You know, no one really cares about, let's think of an example. No one really cares about macros. But, you know, if we can show them how macro counting will give them the result they want, which is weight loss or weight gain or weight management, then they will do the macro counting. So there is an element of us knowing the best methods. And yes, we can, you know, we can give them the outcome they want, but we do it in a way that they need to be doing it. So there is an element of that. But what I'm really talking about here is moving your scope so that it becomes so big that actually it becomes overwhelming for your clients. Remember that anything that you are delivering in your group programs should be the exact basic, most fundamental drills that they need to get the result that they want. So when you're looking at your program and you're thinking, I think I should add in a weekly live session, what you need to be looking at is, instead of do they want it, do I want to do it, is it going to be fun, instead think, will this add to the to getting them to the outcome that I'm promising? In other words, is it going to add value for them? Is it important that they do an extra live session a week? You know, is it important that they understand protein? Is it important that they're tracking their protein? Is that going to be the needle mover that will get them to the result that they want? Or are you just giving them more stuff to do? Because ultimately, what we don't want to do is overwhelm them with stuff. What there might be is a second program or a continuation program where you say, right, guys, you've got so far, you've got to this point, you're lifting heavy, you know, you're doing all the great things in the gym, you're building muscle. But I know that the next stage of this is sorting out your diet. Because if you want to see the results and if you want to grow the muscle faster, we need to be looking at the protein. So it might be that that's like a continuation part of it. So remember with your group program, it doesn't need to solve everything. It doesn't need to answer the whole problem. All it needs to do is get people to the first pillar. Knock down the first domino. Okay? And adding things that no one has asked for or creating a program that people aren't asking for, not validating your ideas in the market, is a surefire way to overwhelm people and create something that people don't want. Okay, so we sharpen our ideas in the market. We ask people, you know, we have conversations and we say, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? Would that be helpful for you? Is that something you would be interested in? Is that something that would move the needle for you? And what you'll probably find is when you have those conversations with people, they might come back and say, you know what? I don't really care about protein. I just want you to tell me what to do. I just want you to give me the meal plans. Okay, right, fine. So maybe tracking protein in program one is the wrong idea. Maybe program one, we have the meal plans. And maybe program two, once they've kind of knocked over that first domino of tidying up their diet, lifting a bit heavier, program two is where we give them the tools to manage it themselves long term. So I hope that makes sense. Segment three. So the third thing that came up in this week's coaching was messaging that is missing your buyer. Now, the example here, I'm not actually going to share because it's quite a personal example from one of the members. But essentially what this is talking about is the idea that you are creating a message around your product that is bringing in the wrong people. So the example I'm going to give you is one that I have actually shared on here before. And it was one of my examples when I was first using, when I was first marketing my digital products. And I'm also going to share a past client example, which I know she won't mind me sharing, but I will keep her name out of it. So from my example, what I found when I first started running this accelerator program is that I was talking to the wellness expert who was feeling stuck, who was frustrated by her or his lack of freedom in their business, the inability to scale their income or impact. And, you know, they were kind of bored with their customers and, you know, feeling just a little bit disheartened and tired and low energy. And you know what? That messaging worked. Like, it brought people in. It brought in a demographic of people that wanted my help. So it's not that it didn't work. But what happened on the flip side of that, on the follow-on, was that those people that I was bringing in were the type of people that were just going to complain and make excuses and make this really hard, because they are the type of person that would rather whinge and complain and moan and be frustrated than the type of person who's going to do something about it. What I did with that is that when I realized that actually I had a group call and it just felt really flat and people were moaning and whinging, and you know, it just felt, although it, you know, they were still doing the work and getting results, from my perspective, I just thought, I don't want my coaching calls to feel like that. I want them to feel energetic and fun and outcome focused. And so when I changed my messaging, I changed it to speak to the person who is ambitious, the person who's A-type, the person who's a doer, the person who is a high achiever. You know, you're used to doing things well. You don't want to just do this and do it to your kind of basic level. You want to make it really great. You want to be known in your field. You want to be an expert. You know you're good at your job. You have skills and desires to make this bigger. You want to grow. You want to step away from being viewed as a hobby business. You want to kind of stand out in your field and talk about your business and be an entrepreneur. And when I started changing my messaging to that, man, did that bring in the right people, the people that are just going to take action. I've got goosebumps talking about this. I bring in action takers, and that's the difference. It's no longer a race to the bottom, it's a race to the top. And those are the people that light me up. You know, there'll be a different program for the others. And I'm not saying that those people, those other people, can't get results. They absolutely can. They're just not the people I want in my world. And you have that choice. You get to be picky about who you work with. You know, we've all run classes and had coaching clients that we just slightly dread. You know, like, it's, oh God, it's that person today. We've all had that. And I've had that till fairly recently even. But what I stand by now is that for me, it's an energetic thing. No one comes into the accelerator without me meeting them first. And then I go away. So we have a call and then I go away and I think about it. I don't offer people places on the spot. I go away and I let it percolate. I think about that person and I think, how would they fit into the group? How would I manage their energy? Am I excited about working with them? Do I think I can help them? Do I think they will step up? Because there is an element of, yes, I will provide you with the coaching and the support and the curriculum and the content and the community, but you have to step up too. It can't just be me, because I can't force you to do the press ups. You know, I can't force you to launch your product. I can't force you to do the work. And I don't want to. Like, I'm not here to babysit you. I'm here to inspire you and give you the tools you need, but you go away and you make those tools into something incredible. And so your messaging gets to do that for your people, to bring in the right people. And a funny example that I did say I would share, and I think I might have shared this before, was a client of mine that I worked with about a year ago now. She remains one of my faves. So if you're listening, you will know who I'm talking about. She has a program that helps people with a kind of midlife reset. So it's like there's lots around diet, there's lots around hormones, there's lots around, you know, weight. And people are looking at kind of, you know, wanting to improve their bodies and themselves. And she shared this example with me when we were talking about messaging around how she, on her second cohort, brought in that group that was stuck, frustrated, failing, you know, feeling rubbish, all of those things, hadn't exercised in a year, you know, before they started the program that weekend, they binged everything just to kind of get it all out of the cupboards. Like, it was that person. You all know who I'm talking about. They were the person that hasn't tried really to help themselves. And what happened was, is that inside her coaching program, that group of people, when you put those people together in a group, is that they unravel each other. It becomes a race to the bottom. You know, that she shared an example of one Friday night where there was a WhatsApp group and the first one said, oh my goodness, I've just had a slice of cheesecake. And then the next one said, oh my God, me too. I'm two bottles down on the vino. And then the third person was like, oh my God, that's it. You've given me permission. I'm going to go and open up the minstrels. You know, like, and it was like, oh, okay, permission. And suddenly she's sitting there at home watching this WhatsApp group, watching it descend into chaos, because it's the wrong people that have been put in a community and they are bringing each other down. They're dragging down. Whereas when she changed her buyer to the one that's tried everything, that's really trying, that's out running every day, that's doing all the right stuff, eating healthily but not getting the result that they want, going to the gym daily but not looking how they feel they should, taking all the supplements but still knackered in the morning, this is the person she wants. The one who's had a go, is having a go, is actively having a go, but just needs some support to streamline their efforts. And that person raises up the group. It raises the level. It raises the bar for everybody. So everybody starts to float. You know, the cream rises to the top. It's that person. So your messaging will attract the people that you want to work with. And so if you've got a group program that feels a bit flat or just doesn't feel quite right, look at your messaging and look at the type of words you are using to attract people. Okay, so we're on to our final point. Speaking to everyone versus speaking to the right person. And this goes similar to everything we've talked about today, really, but getting really clear on who you want to talk to, who you want to work with, and what problem you're going to solve. When you speak to everybody, you speak to nobody. There is, at the moment, what people are coining a trust recession in the online space. Now, I don't like talking about things like this, and you'll probably notice that in my content. I don't tend to lean into those kind of rhetorics. You know, when people get really worried about the cost of living crisis and the trust recession, and I know these things are happening. I'm very aware that they're out there, but I don't think it's beneficial for us to dwell on them, because I actually don't think they will impact your business. And I think sometimes dwelling on them can kind of bring us all down a little bit. Whereas actually, we just got to continue taking action. And so this is the same kind of thing one of these things, the trust recession, I do want to briefly touch on. And I want to touch on it because I just think it's relevant. I was recently scrolling through Instagram, and I was looking at a selection of wellness expert pages as a bit of research. And what I found was there are a lot of kind of online coaches, online memberships, online programs, and that's great. But what I was looking at it was from the perspective of somebody who might be buying, might be looking to buy. And when I go onto those pages, what I want to know immediately is, who's the person? Like, who's the face of this? Who's running it? And it's really important that I am able to hear your voice, watch you speak, feel like I start to get to know you and start to kind of get closer to you. And what I feel like happens and is happening is that people aren't doing that anymore. We're so worried about putting out content into the online space that we are forgetting that we need to create a community and we need to start showcasing who we are as people. And so this trust recession starts there. I want you to start with thinking about, like, how can I put myself across online? How can I show up and be more visible online so that people can start to trust me? But the second phase of this is what I want to talk about, which is this speaking to everyone versus speaking to someone. Now, the reason why most people are not showing up personally online and are not maybe even posting much or are kind of unable to be consistent in the online space is that they're trying to speak to too many people. So their messaging gets really woolly, fluffy, and they don't really know what to say. And actually having that broad breadth of potential topics makes it really hard to create content. When you have one topic for one person, it makes it much easier. You repeat, 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 but you find different angles, you find different stories, you find different metaphors. Speaking to everyone makes it really broad, really hard to show up, but it also makes you really hard to trust. Because if I'm going to buy from someone, I need to know that they can help me. I don't really care that they can help a niche. I need to know for sure that they have tailored their product to what I need. And so when you try and speak to everybody, you immediately dampen down the trust that they have in you. And not necessarily trust as in, you know, they believe that you exist, they don't think you're a bot, you know, all of that's top level stuff. I'm talking about trust to buy, because ultimately we want people to buy from us. And to do that, they need to know who you are and they need to know that you can help them. So guys, we've got to start speaking to one person. And I know that feels really alarming and like you're going to cut out the vast percentage of the population, but you are. That's exactly what we're trying to do. Separate the wheat from the chaff. We want to cut the chaff. We want the top percent. We don't want everybody. We can't help everybody. And if we go after everybody, they won't trust us anyway. It will be really hard to sell to. We will be bringing in people that are never going to make that purchase anyway. Whereas when you speak to the right person with the right problem that you can deeply serve, they will see you. They will turn up for you. They will be responsive. They will answer your DMs. They will comment on your posts. They will watch your stuff. They will send you emails. They will be far more responsive. You'll get so much more out of them than you would if you're trying to speak to everybody. So speaking to everyone and also providing products for everyone just doesn't work. Speaking to the right person, providing products for the right person builds trust. And that is what creates sales. So I really hope that this has been a useful episode for you. We've covered a lot. So I know there's been a lot, you know, a lot of pointers and bits of information that you can take away or choose to ignore. But what I wanted to do today is kind of give you a snapshot of the types of conversations we have inside the Accelerator program. Now, I know the Accelerator isn't going to be right for everybody, which is why I do this podcast, so that you can get that help without paying for the program. But if you are someone that wants that handholding and that next step of support and is, you know, has tried, is ready, you know, is determined, is committed, then the Accelerator would be a great next step for you. As I said, I don't accept everybody. I turn away probably more people than I accept into the Accelerator program, but I will very, very happily have a conversation with anyone and give you as much value as I can for free. And so if you would like to book a call with me, I'm going to pop a link below. That call is not a sales call. Like I said, it's the opportunity for us to have a chat and see if a digital product is the right next step for you, or if you already have a product, see where you can go with that, what options you have, what potential next steps there are for you. So it's really a value call. At the end of that call, if there is the opportunity for us to work together, I will explain to you how that works, but I will not offer you a space on the call because I like to go away and percolate, as I've said. I am an action taker and I make fast decisions. And so I have built this level in so that I don't do that, so that I go away and I really think about what's going to be best for you and best for my program and best for me. As a coach, I want to work with the right people. So I'm going to pop a link to that below. And if you haven't yet checked out the training, the free training that I've created, I would really encourage you to go and do that. I have had really good feedback. The training is talking about how wellness experts are adding freedom and 5K months with a clear group program. Now, this training covers why you don't need a big audience, why you don't need to be posting all the time, and why you don't need to feel salesy doing it. And how you can do it even in a saturated market, especially in a saturated market. So if you haven't checked that out yet, I'm going to pop the training below. So you've got those two options, book a call or watch the training. And I really look forward to being back with you again next week. If you have any questions, as always, reach out to me at Instagram at Caroline Kopp, and I will see you again next time. Thanks for tuning in to Scaling Wellness. If you found today's episode valuable, I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me over on Instagram at Caroline Kopp and drop me a DM and let me know what your biggest takeaway was. Or if you know a friend or colleague in wellness who would find this podcast useful, I'd love you to share this episode with them or maybe tag it in your socials. It might be just what they need to hear today as well. And finally, if you are enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please rate and review. It helps more wellness professionals like you to discover the show and ultimately allows us as a community to grow the wellness message and help more people. So until next time, remember, the problem you solve for your clients still exists. So keep sharing your wellness message.